When Frank Slootman took over as CEO of Snowflake in 2019, the company was already growing at an impressive rate. Yet within 18 months, he led them to what was billed as the largest software IPO in history, with the stock reaching a staggering $70+ billion market value. This wasn't Slootman's first rodeo. He had previously transformed DataDomain and ServiceNow into industry powerhouses, creating hundreds of billions in market value. His leadership philosophy, which he calls Amp It Up, has become legendary in Silicon Valley circles. Warren Buffett reportedly keeps a copy of Slootman's book on his desk, while tech luminaries like Mark Benioff and Satya Nadella have praised his approach to driving extraordinary performance. What makes Slootman's methodology so powerful is that it doesn't require expensive restructuring or wholesale talent replacement. Instead, it focuses on raising standards, increasing pace, sharpening focus, and aligning people to create remarkable results with existing resources. Being mission-driven has been essential to Slootman's success across multiple companies. A clear, compelling mission creates a visceral experience that energizes people and unlocks extraordinary performance. When your company has a well-defined purpose, you feel it in your bones, energized at the start of each day and satisfied by your progress at day's end. This X factor elevates performance as people strive for greatness together. The opposite is a workplace where employees merely check off trivial tasks, pass the buck, and cover themselves, a depressing career path that endangers the enterprise. While mission clarity was once common, today's companies are increasingly confused about their purpose, giving mission-driven leaders a competitive advantage. A great mission must be ambitious but achievable. Snowflake's mission to build the world's greatest data platform in computing history exemplifies this balance. Similarly, DataDomain set out to replace tape backup with disk-based systems. Tape sucks. While ServiceNow aimed to become the global standard for IT service management. These wildly ambitious visions succeeded because they were challenging but possible. The more defined and intense a mission, the easier it becomes for everyone to focus and avoid distractions. Companies naturally lose focus over time as managers chase the latest shiny objects in their inboxes or social feeds. Military history demonstrates this principle. WW2 had the clear mission of stopping fascist dictators, and the Bin Laden raid had crystal clear purpose. By contrast, ambiguous missions in Vietnam, Iraq, and Afghanistan led to tragedy. A company's true purpose must transcend financial metrics. While Slootman takes quarterly targets seriously, they're milestones toward the real mission of improving customers' lives through innovation. DataDomain freed IT from miserable tape backup processes. ServiceNow created approachable IT management systems. And Snowflake transformed data processing with cloud technology that ran orders of magnitude faster. Maintaining a mission requires four key elements: focus, concentration on what truly matters; urgency, recognizing that time kills all deals; execution, orchestrating activities with high standards; and strategy, aligning approaches with mission goals. True mission-driven leadership isn't about beliefs. It's about daily decisions on time, effort, and resources. It means delivering on promises rather than scoring style points, making choices in every interaction, and grinding toward the mission day after day. Slootman frames business as literal warfare. You're either defending your turf or invading someone else's. The stakes are existential. Some companies will survive while others won't. Competitors will use every tactic available, bundling products for free, filing lawsuits, buying out technical debt, not just competing on product merit. Winning means breaking your enemy's will to fight, evidenced by talent drain when competitors' best people join your company. At DataDomain, they competed against EMC's free bundled offerings by arguing free isn't free when products don't work properly. ServiceNow faced intellectual property lawsuits from BMC, who could not compete on product. At Snowflake, cloud vendors buy out technical debt, subsidize migrations, and bundle services to avoid competing on product merit. Equally important is the war against incrementalism, making cautious, marginal improvements that feel safe but carry their own risks. While appropriate for established consumer brands or highly regulated industries like aviation, in most fields, incrementalism represents a lack of boldness. Large enterprises especially punish risk-taking while rewarding stagnation, explaining why few Fortune 500 companies from 50 years ago still exist. Rather than seeking incremental progress from the current state, Slootman advises thinking about the desired future state and working backward. Most leaders, even at hypergrowth companies, underestimate their growth potential, retreating to seemingly safer goals rather than driving their business to its limits. Slootman's companies succeeded through radical departures from industry norms, not incremental improvements. Data Domain replaced virtual tape libraries with network replication. ServiceNow transformed rigid, specialist-dependent IT systems into user-friendly platforms that could be modified daily by modestly skilled staff. Snowflake reimagined data management for cloud computing, delivering performance orders of magnitude better than incumbents. The key lesson, attacking markets with weak, unpopular incumbents is infinitely easier than challenging strong, popular ones. Customers need massive, not marginal, differentiation to switch from established products. Leaders must ensure everyone in the organization understands the competitive landscape and feels the same sense of urgency, rather than allowing business-as-usual thinking to take hold. Despite abundant literature on business strategy, relatively few resources address execution, a critical oversight, since no strategy is better than its implementation. When businesses struggle, it's often difficult to determine whether the problem stems from flawed strategy or poor execution. Most people prefer discussing strategy as intellectually stimulating, while viewing execution as mundane. This is backward. Strategy can't be mastered until you know how to execute well. In technology, we have abundant capital and ideas, but lack people who excel at implementing them. Silicon Valley has great engineering talent for launching products with small teams, but scaling disciplined organizations is another matter entirely. While sales has systematic training processes at companies like Snowflake, where reps progress from handling inbound leads to enterprise accounts, few paths systematically prepare people for general management roles where execution is critical. Today's aspiring leaders often charge in headfirst without proper training. With CEOs now reaching senior positions in their early 30s, many haven't observed excellent execution or had opportunities to make educational mistakes. Organizations cannot scale around inexperienced management. At Data Domain, ServiceNow, and Snowflake, Slootman consistently found that solving execution problems required bringing in experienced leadership from the top down. The common mistake is expecting innovators to also provide discipline, qualities that rarely coexist. Strategy matters greatly, but is often developed reflexively through pattern matching rather than extensive reasoning. The greatest danger is failing to maintain intellectual honesty, seeing things as they truly are instead of rationalizing comfortable interpretations. Large competitors frequently underestimate threats until too late, as EMC did with Data Domain, BMC did with ServiceNow, and established players did with Snowflake. When startups struggle, the VP of sales is often blamed, but the real problem is usually inadequate product-market fit. A strong product generates momentum even with mediocre sales, but even great salespeople can't compensate for product problems. Without strong execution, you can't determine if your strategy is failing. Eliminate execution as a factor first, then evaluate strategy. Many executives hire consulting firms to develop strategy, gaining fancy presentations and borrowed authority. But as the joke goes, consultants borrow your watch, tell you what time it is, and keep the watch. Similarly, dedicated in-house strategists separate strategy from execution, creating misaligned incentives. Slootman's approach, operators in each business unit must also be strategists, and the CEO must be the chief strategy officer. Great execution makes even moderate strategies successful, while poor execution dooms even brilliant strategies. At Data Domain, Slootman adopted the recruiting philosophy, on the road of life, there are passengers and there are drivers. Drivers wanted. Drivers derive satisfaction from making things happen, not blending in. They feel strong ownership, demand high standards, and exude energy, urgency, and ambition. Finding, recruiting, and retaining these drivers should be a top priority. Recognize them publicly, promote them, and elevate them as examples of what others should aspire to. The distinction between drivers and passengers can be subtle, as most people fall somewhere in the middle. When Slootman raises this concept at all-hands meetings, it makes people uncomfortable. They've never objectively considered which category they belong to. Employees should ask themselves if they matter to the organization, if their absence would hurt results. Passengers have two options: stick around without changing, risking being first cut during layoffs, or start emulating drivers. When joining troubled companies like ServiceNow and Snowflake, Slootman's first priority was sorting valuable people from dead weight. Don't wait to assess people. You need to make decisions with limited information. Act quickly to get the wrong people off the bus. Coaching rarely works as well as we hope. Moving fast shows everyone you're serious about high standards. The good employees will be energized, while those unwilling to meet standards may leave. That's fine too. Earlier in Slootman's career, firing was considered a last resort, with managers often blamed for employee failures. This created bad incentives to shuffle underperformers around or put them on endless improvement plans. Even in Europe, where termination costs are higher, the cost of mediocrity is far worse. Slootman admits his younger self was too slow to replace underperformers, but he learned to systematically top-grade talent, even telling boards they should replace him if they found a better CEO. Finding and recruiting the right people is harder than removing the wrong ones. The cost of a hiring mistake is enormous in time, money, and reputation. Leaders are expected to have well-developed networks, recruiting ability, and a sharp eye for talent. Maintaining an active recruiting posture is challenging but essential. Rather than scrambling when positions open, leaders should maintain prioritized candidate lists for each critical role. Don't wait for vacancies. Track strong candidates over time, build relationships, and engage promising talent even without immediate openings. In high-growth companies, staff ahead of need. Conduct calibration sessions where managers present evaluations of direct reports for peer feedback, creating clarity and prompting action on talent gaps. Culture defines the dominant patterns of behaviors, beliefs, norms, and values in a workplace. A strong culture becomes an enduring competitive advantage, while a weak one can destroy organizations from within. Culture must serve the mission rather than just making employees comfortable. High-growth enterprises are intense places that won't please everyone. Leaders must actively shape culture early, as it becomes highly persistent over time. Unlike competitors who can copy strategies or hire away talent, they can't replicate your culture. At Data Domain, Slootman codified cultural values in the RECIP framework: respect, genuine engagement, responsiveness, excellence, pursuing greatness in all roles, customer, the center of everything with no exceptions, integrity, being truthful in word and spirit, performance, driving accountability at all levels, and execution, focusing less on strategy, more on implementation. This execution focus helped Data Domain outperform competitors who constantly second-guessed their strategies. At ServiceNow, Slootman applied lessons from Data Domain but didn't impose the recipe framework directly to avoid friction with founding staff. He maintained a customer-centric, high-performance culture while respecting ServiceNow's San Diego-based, more laid-back identity. The company established a Silicon Valley presence to access technical talent while allowing the San Diego office to maintain its unique character. At Snowflake, Slootman discovered a disconnect between the company's stated values and actual practices. Despite beautiful posters promoting integrity and inclusion, problematic subcultures had developed, particularly in sales regions. Slootman's team identified and removed sales executives who violated cultural standards, demonstrating that performance doesn't excuse bad behavior. They maintained Snowflake's stated values, but enforced compliance to close the gap between aspirations and reality. Cultural violations demand swifter action than performance issues. While underperformance can be coached, mistreating colleagues or customers indicates fundamental problems. Tolerating bad behavior, especially when paired with strong results, signals that stated values are meaningless. Leaders must make tough decisions to protect culture, though they may show leniency to junior employees who followed a bad manager's example. A strong culture both attracts aligned people and repels those who don't fit, which Slootman considers a feature, not a bug. Slootman advocates breaking down organizational silos by encouraging direct communication across departments. Rather than viewing the company as separate functional teams, he promotes seeing it as one integrated organization where everyone can speak to anyone regardless of rank or function. Companies often excel within individual silos but struggle with cross-functional execution. When employees stay in their lanes and escalate cross-departmental issues up their chain of command, efficiency suffers. This approach reinforces rigid power structures, creates political environments, and forces disputes to the top. Some leaders prefer this centralized control, but Slootman considers it a failure when executives need his intervention to resolve conflicts. The Go Direct philosophy encourages employees to reach out directly to colleagues in other departments who can help solve problems regardless of organizational hierarchy. This approach requires prompt acknowledgement of all communications, even from junior staff, and consistent reinforcement to overcome the natural tendency toward vertical communication. Slootman models this behavior by personally responding to employee emails and bringing department heads together as the company's governing body, facilitating their initiative rather than simply directing them. Trust is foundational to team effectiveness and must be earned, not assumed. In high-trust environments, people focus on organizational priorities rather than checking up on colleagues or fearing sabotage. Trust develops gradually through consistent behavior, with people naturally starting relationships with a show-me attitude. In low-trust environments, people play defense, prioritizing personal survival over company success. Leaders must earn trust through consistent alignment between words and actions. When joining as CEO at three different companies, Slootman encountered initial apprehension that could only be overcome through follow-through. People constantly monitor the gap between what leaders say and do, especially regarding staff treatment. While perfection isn't required, honest self-awareness about shortcomings builds trust more effectively than denial. High-trust workplace cultures correlate with high performance because people can challenge each other constructively without defensiveness, focusing on business problems rather than politics. Leaders must model this by publicly acknowledging their own mistakes. Slootman describes his struggles with contract manufacturing at Data Domain and cloud infrastructure leadership at ServiceNow, where he took responsibility for false starts while committing to persist until finding solutions. By openly declaring his mistakes, he created psychological safety for others to admit theirs, accelerating problem-solving and improvement across the organization. Slootman draws a compelling parallel between medical diagnosis and business problem-solving, highlighting how the medical profession's methodical approach to diagnosis stands in stark contrast to businesses' often hasty rush toward solutions. This solution centricity in business stems from three primary factors: intellectual laziness, over-reliance on pattern matching based on limited experience, and pervasive groupthink. He illustrates this through several pivotal examples from his career. Burroughs Corporation's disastrous merger with Sperry Univac, where leadership failed to properly analyze cultural incompatibilities. CompuWare's unnecessary diversification from its highly profitable mainframe business based on market assumptions. And Snowflake's initial misreading of customer adoption challenges in the data cloud space. The prevalent solution-centric business culture encourages quick conclusions based on superficial pattern matching rather than deep situation analysis. This intellectual shortcut manifests in various ways. Executives drawing false parallels between past experiences and current challenges, teams rushing to implement trendy solutions without understanding their specific context, and leaders making decisions based on incomplete data. This intellectual laziness often leads to selective reasoning, where facts are cherry-picked to support predetermined conclusions and politically motivated narratives. Groupthink further amplifies these tendencies, as demonstrated by historical disasters like the Bay of Pigs invasion, where alternative viewpoints were suppressed, and in everyday business decisions, where confirmation bias leads teams to overlook critical flaws in their reasoning. To combat this rush to solutions, Slootman advocates adopting a doctor-like diagnostic approach, deliberately slowing down the decision-making process to critically examine problems before settling on explanations. This requires significant intellectual honesty to set aside personal biases, past experiences, and preconceptions. He recommends starting with first principles thinking, breaking problems down to their most basic elements, and approaching each situation as if encountering it for the first time. In practice, this means asking fundamental questions like, what problem are we really trying to solve? And what evidence supports our current understanding? In meetings, Slootman often challenges his colleagues by redirecting discussions back to problem analysis rather than simply approving proposed solutions, even when this creates temporary friction. The diagnostic approach becomes particularly crucial in people-related decisions. Hiring decisions are especially susceptible to bias, since many important human qualities, such as judgment, resilience, and adaptability, cannot be measured objectively. While even experienced leaders make hiring mistakes, Slootman argues that the real failure lies in refusing to acknowledge and address these errors promptly. He implements regular calibration sessions where department heads must present detailed performance assessments of their direct reports to their peers. These sessions serve multiple purposes. They help highlight inconsistencies in evaluation standards, force leaders to confront whether they're tolerating mediocre performance, and create accountability for hiring and development decisions. This systematic approach to people decisions helps organizations maintain high standards and address performance issues before they become systemic problems. When Slootman joined Snowflake in 2019, he found both operational challenges and tremendous opportunities. Though initially thinking they had plenty of time to prepare for the future given their robust growth, he quickly realized their early strategic moves were barely in time and far more essential than anticipated. This illustrates a critical axiom. You must think well ahead of current market dynamics. If you wait until the need for strategic shift becomes obvious, you're likely too late. Snowflake's original 2015 positioning as a cloud-built data warehouse had both advantages and limitations. The positive, quick market recognition facilitated sales efforts as potential customers understood the value proposition. The negative, as the brand became identified with data warehousing, it confined market opportunities and tainted them with perceived limitations of traditional warehousing, despite breakthrough capabilities. In late 2019, they launched the Data Cloud strategy. While continuing data warehouse services, they expanded operational capabilities to address legacy shortcomings. Beyond performance, the platform's ability to federate data became a major selling point. Anyone with an account could blend data from any shared account without friction or latency. This pioneering approach addressed the corporate nightmare of dispersed, fragmented data that made chief information officers crazy and impeded data science. They further expanded with a data marketplace, enabling customers to search, discover, and test data offered by other parties. This marketplace connected supply and demand for industry-specific information, making it easy for data companies to promote their offerings with a consumption utility model, where customers pay only for what they use. Running a company resembles playing poker. Understanding your card's potential dictates whether to call, raise, or fold. Snowflake could have stuck to data warehousing as its core business, but their value perception would have remained a fraction of what it became. The question isn't just how large your current market is, but how big it will be in years ahead. When circumstances change, companies without new markets often resort to desperate measures. The earlier you lay groundwork for market expansion, the easier these challenges become. This is why evolving and repositioning Snowflake for larger stakes was crucial, despite profound challenges for their engineering and sales teams. As Slootman's experience across three companies demonstrates, the ability to transform strategy ahead of market shifts is what separates extraordinary companies from those that merely survive or don't survive at all. When asked what makes a great CEO, people expect simple adjectives like intelligent, charismatic, or collaborative, something for a sticky note on their bathroom mirror. But leadership isn't that simple. There are many paths to superior business outcomes, and you must find one matching your temperament and natural aptitudes. Don't try copying other leaders or asking, "What would Frank do?" Instead, leverage your unique experiences to become a more effective version of yourself. Finding your own path, however long it takes, will unlock your personal power. Young CEOs with all the right qualifications on paper often get bruised when given leadership roles before gaining necessary experience. These setbacks, though painful, become the foundation of future success. At day's end, great leaders produce great outcomes. No excuses or explanations matter if your business falls short. But if you persevere with customer focus and disciplined culture, it pays off. It's hard to beat any leader who combines resolve, persistence, mission focus, and clarity about what truly matters. Any leader who truly amps it up. The amp it up philosophy isn't about working harder. It's about working smarter with greater intensity and focus. It's about raising standards rather than lowering them to move things along. It's about aligning people around clear goals rather than letting them negotiate for personal metrics. It's about sharpening focus by thinking sequentially rather than in parallel and ruthlessly prioritizing. It's about picking up the pace by compressing cycle times and challenging delays. As Slootman's remarkable success across three different companies demonstrates, these principles can transform organizations without expensive restructuring or wholesale talent replacement. By raising expectations, increasing urgency, and elevating intensity, leaders at any level can fight organizational inertia and dramatically improve performance. The power to amp it up lies within reach of every leader willing to embrace these principles and apply them consistently day after day in pursuit of extraordinary results.